Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey, Northeast Color, and Franchise Payments Network. If you're looking for something buzzworthy to reward your customers and your business with, Pollinate is an all-inclusive loyalty and gift card technology company focused on the franchise space. Powered by Franchise Payments Network, they work with your team to help you create reward systems that engage your customers, boost sales, and frequency. With Pollinate, franchise systems enjoy a 17% ticket lift and 50% increase in customer visits for those enrolled in the program. With Pollinate, everybody will earn, redeem, enjoy, and repeat. To learn more, check out Pollinate at pollinate.com/marketing. All right, geeks, today it is a preview of one of the sessions at IFA's MOD event. That's the Marketing Operations and Development Conference happening virtually October 6th through the 9th. And joining me again is Kristen Pahacek, Chief Growth Officer, brand new title, at Massage Luxe. Hey, Kristen, what's up?
Hi, Jack. Good to talk to you. It's been a while.
And before we get going on MOD, how's the new gig with Massage Luxe?
I love it. It was a perfect move for me. I am so excited to see the brand grow and see what's in store as we enter into 2021. Can you believe it?
2021. Oh, I've been waiting for 2021 for feels like years. So we're getting closer.
I've never wanted Christmas so bad. Yeah. Let's go. Bring it on.
Yeah. Let's start singing some carols now. But before we get to the holidays, we've got a really great event, as I mentioned earlier, with the MOD event with IFA happening in October. And one of the great speakers who will be presenting there is Marissa Friedman. She's a Fortune 100 marketing strategist, and she joins us right now on Social Geek. Hey, Marissa, how are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm doing awesome. It's beautiful here in California this morning.
Excellent. Glad to hear it. Are you north, south, in the middle? Where are you at?
I'm in Newport Beach, actually. I'm by
nice.
The water.
Lovely, lovely. Great time of the year in that part of the world, too. So, well, thank you for being here today, and thanks for presenting to the franchise family. You're coming up on October 9th at the MOD event. We really want to just kind of jump in and get a little flavor of what you're going to be talking about for the franchise marketers out there.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty excited. It's going to be a blended conversation where I'm going to do a little bit of here's how to do all kinds of cool stuff. And then we're going to do some live Q&A with the group. So I think what we've seen, right, is people are consuming tons of content, right? Everyone's working remotely or people are going into the office again. And what we're trying to figure out is consumer behavior has shifted a little bit. And we want to make sure that everyone is supported to know how they need to be communicating outward, right? I think everyone has experienced a little bit of a frustration, right? Maybe you want to go eat or maybe you want to order out and you're trying to get the right information. And so you're going to all of the channels that you know, right? You're going to Facebook or Google, or you end up on Instagram or Yelp. And, you know, maybe for some people out there, that information isn't consistent across all of those platforms. So what happens is you might actually be losing out on business, or you just maybe have some new challenges, right? We know that so many people are reassessing their priorities and trying to pivot to adapt their products and services. And there's even some strategies around, hey, how do you invest or rethink investment, right, into your social strategy or how you're communicating with customers? And after talking to, I think we did a poll of about 2,500, you know, just different consumers in different markets to hear their top frustration. Well, one of the biggest frustrations is, hey, I don't know if this place is open or not. And if you think about that, that's probably the simplest thing, right? Communicating with your customers.
That's the worst thing a brand can be, closed.
Right. And maybe you're open, but you have a modified setup, or maybe you're doing online only, or maybe you're doing outdoor seating, right? That's in California right now. Most everything is outdoor. So when you look at that, it's just really simple. Hey, where are my customers looking based on the data that we have? Because that data is going to tell you all of that information. and making sure that you're communicating that on all of those channels. And that doesn't really cost you anything except maybe the 20 to 30 minutes to update that. And so those little details right now, man, they're really killing brands.
Is that the biggest challenge that, that people have, especially if we're looking at Google, just making sure things are accurate as far as, you know, dine only or drive through or hours of operation? Is that sort of the number one thing you look at?
I think the number one thing is remembering to show your customers care, right? Everyone's been through the ringer. And what we're seeing is people are forgetting to respond to reviews. They're forgetting to say, oh, hey, thanks for letting us know about that. Or just even that little bit of care means so much to a brand. And it also can help your brand, right? Algorithmically. So if you think of everything that you put out about your brand on the internet, or every time your brand is mentioned, right, on a review platform, it's sending a signal to Google stating relevancy. So something really easy, like someone leaving some feedback or saying, hey, it would have been great to have that. What we see is a lot of times people don't want to dive into the review. They want to argue with it, or they just go, oh, if I ignore it, then it's fine. But what you actually have to do is take the steps to address what the consumers want. And so what we're seeing is there's a really simple framework around kind of responding, rebuilding, and recover. And those kind of three R's is, listen, are you reframing your business model? Are you communicating outwardly with customers? Are you taking the time to show care? And the statistics really show that brands that are taking that time to do that personalized messaging or responding to reviews or just kind of showing a little bit of empathy are winning, right? We see this time and time again. And it's such a small thing. I almost feel like it's such a small detail that people just gloss right over it. They don't even think about it because they're focused on big picture things. Like, so maybe you are rethinking how you're going to do something internally. That doesn't mean that you can't do that at the same time, right? It's a really low touch, really low point thing to do.
And it kind of feels like with the increased engagement, I know the numbers for engagement right now on Facebook and Instagram are just through the roof as far as for the past 6 months. And I'm sure Google is as well. With the amount of time people are searching for something, looking for something specific, and they have a lot of extra time to write a review and for those things to be ignored, this is kind of like the perfect storm for ignoring customers on Google.
Well, yeah. And I think whether it's Google or any other platform, I mean, we know that staying home led to about a 60% increase in the amount of content being consumed.
Wow.
Right? So 12 hours of content being consumed a day. I want you guys to think about that. That is 12 hours of streaming or being on an app or being, you know, on Facebook. And I've seen that. That's a lot of time. And then if you look at it and you go, okay, so they're on there for 12 hours, right? They're getting hit with all kinds of stuff, right? So definitely, you know, whether it's, you know, I kind of joke, my feed knows what I'm thinking a lot of the times before I do, right? So if I'm looking for fitness or I want to relax, right? There's a lot of people looking at, I just want to eat, I want to relax, I don't want to cook, or I want to do X, Y, and Z. All you need to think about is how are you messaging to these people? And again, if you spend some time doing a really quick exercise thinking about, hey, what are our customers Googling right now? And if you can't think of what that is in the room, I would go ask like the lowest person on the totem pole. I would go to an intern, right? I'd go to the person that knows the least about the business and say, what are you looking up right now? Like, what would you look up? Because chances are they don't have all the industry experience and the savvy, and they're just going to give you an off-the-cuff answer. And that's probably what most people are looking for. So that being said, you use that really low point entry piece of data and really think about, hey, are we pushing out the right stuff? Is what is coming up when people look for that what we want them to see? Or do we need to make some changes? And I would definitely tell people, you do that in incognito mode. Right? You do that in a mode that's not tied to all your browsing history to get an idea of what the average person is seeing.
So how do franchisors keep all of this in check, keep track of everything that they need to do in order to ensure that they are looking at reviews and paying attention to social? Do you have any tips for us?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things that you can do, which is kind of evaluate the, you know, whatever the best practices were for the company and then set the bar a little bit lower. And everyone laughs when I say that, but we've got, you know, people focusing on revenue and other things, but we just need to make it a shorter action-based list, right? And we need to look at, in some of the franchises that I've worked with, what we've implemented is, hey, we know that, you know, for 10 minutes a day, everyone on the team is pitching in for X, right? So we know that people have meetings and things that they're running to, but we say, hey, if everyone in the operation is just focused on looking at digital footprint for 10 minutes, that means everybody's doing it together, literally. Like everybody in the business is looking at that together. What you're going to find is you're going to get some more perspective from people around you, but everyone is focused on one task at one time. And I don't know about you guys. I kind of joke about being a little bit of a zombie right now, you know, all the zooming in our lives. So a lot of our lives right now are in meetings, right? Or running a business. So this idea of actually being strategic together is kind of, it's kind of a throwback. Right? I don't know if you guys ever did in elementary school, you had like a reading 20 minutes at school where everyone in the school did reading for 20 minutes together. It was the principal, the office staff. That's what we used to do in California. Well, I'm just taking that philosophy and applying it to a franchise. So if everyone on a particular team says, hey, every day from this time, we're going to huddle and work on X, what you'll see is you don't have to think about it for the rest of the day. You don't have to be on, you know, there is a level of responsiveness that people are being a little bit more forgiving, right? So if you look at maybe 5 years ago, the expectations for pushing out content, I don't know if you guys remember this, but it was like people were churning and burning like 25 to 35 pieces of content per day. And we dialed that back.
Yeah.
People just want quality content now. So that actually works in your favor. And then if you kind of say, hey, for this period of time, everyone's going to microtask and we're all going to work on reviews on Monday or this on Tuesday or this. You just make a schedule and you work through it. That works really well because everyone knows, okay, this is what we're expected to do right now. We're not expected to do this after, you know, 9 hours of Zoom meetings, right? So it's just about kind of attacking and kind of, I call it microtasking, right? What are the four things that we need to do to protect the brand and make sure that we're ensuring revenue from existing customers and keeping people coming back.
Kristen, as a chief growth officer of a growing brand in franchising right now, what questions do you have that maybe some of our other franchise marketing pros out there would have too, as far as what they would like to hear about, whether it's during the Mod event or maybe going forward? What are some other things that you think franchisors are just sort of dying to know when it comes to what should we be doing with Google right now?
Yeah, well, I can speak for us specifically. You know, there are things that we can do at the corporate office to address what's happening through the pandemic and the challenges that we're seeing, but also how do we engage our franchisees in that too? In many franchise systems, the franchisees are the ones responding to reviews and they're the ones updating the photos on GMB and dealing with Q&A and such. And so it would be around how do we rally and educate those franchisees to take the actions that we are taking at corporate to match us in those in order to increase their power and ensure that we're covering all of our bases.
Yeah. I mean, and I would add to that too, using other Google properties as well as GMB, right? On YouTube, we've seen a rise. I don't know if you guys have heard of these With Me videos. Are you guys familiar with that category of video content? And it's basically where people are filming themselves doing ordinary things, like come to work with me, study with me, cook with me, come eat with me. And so when we look at things like that from a content perspective, and you think, who the heck wants to watch average people going to a restaurant to eat, or going to do this? First right. of all, 54% higher. Right. And on average, if you start to look at some of these videos, you've got 4, 5, 6 million views on such a normal activity. So maybe it's come to work with me, right? Maybe it's come, you know, come inside. And that's really great content because it feels real. It feels connected. You can push that out. People can see what's happening behind the scenes. And within that, you can weave in whatever safety protocols or whatever things you're doing, right? So it's intentional content. So on the surface, it looks like, hey, it's just, you know, someone's coming into work. But on the back end, you're actually showing people, oh yeah, look, they are doing safety protocols. They're making sure everything's great. They're able to do all that. And you can use the people, you know, kind of at the store level to kind of disseminate that content. And it's pretty easy to do. You don't have to have, you know, a camera crew and expensive equipment to do it. You know, got a nice enough iPhone and a little steady, you'll be fine.
Kristen, we're going to make a video next week of update my GMB with me. How about that?
I am in. Let's do it. Marissa, I swear I have never asked you a question in which you haven't given a brilliant answer. My expectations are so high for your session. I know I've seen you present before, and I still use your attribution analogy of marriage in the day-to-day. It will stick with me forever.
Yeah. All right. Tell me about that. What's the analogy?
Oh, it's so good.
So I feel like, as a, you know, from a marketing perspective, everyone is always trying to quantify ROI, right? And there was a very standard way of looking at ROI for a very long time, right? If you were doing print advertising and you had X amount towards your print budget, I always tell people you felt comfortable because you knew that you had X amount of print ads going out in a publication, right, for X amount of time. But if you really think about that and that ROI, you were just relying, right, that distribution of that publication was what the publisher said it was, correct? So you were just kind of taking it in that was where you wanted to be. With digital, because you can track it, because it is that way, I kind of look at it like this. Every company is going to have multiple touch points where someone comes in to interact with their brand. And I compare it to how I met my husband on online dating. And so when I tell people that I met my husband on online dating and how it relates to marketing attribution, they go, I need more info. So here's how it goes. Super simple. So I met my husband on an app that swipes. Okay. First interaction was a swipe. We decided we would go, you know, for coffee. So I would evaluate, like, if he was a psycho or not. I determined at coffee he wasn't a psycho. We went to lunch, dinners, right? We made friends, we made family. It results in a proposal and a wedding on the beach, okay? Now, if we looked at the way that attribution was typically done in digital marketing in the past, we would say there was a lot of stuff on first click and last click attribution. You might remember those terms, right? First click, mm-hmm. last click. I mean, the first interaction was the most important than the last. But based on that, right, that would say that me seeing him on Tinder was the most important, and then seeing the resort before we got married was also the most important. That doesn't make sense in the context of that journey, right? If you think about that all the way through. Mm-hmm. So I would ask you guys, which parts of that journey do you think were the most important?
It was probably the coffee where you decided he wasn't a psycho, or it was, you know, somewhere in the middle where, you know, like turned to love, right? I don't know where that was, but it certainly wasn't on the first click or the last click.
Right. So
exactly.
Exactly. So when we look at that and we say, okay, well, a lot of people give a lot of feedback in that session, which is my favorite, right? Because people will throw out downloading the app and filling out your profile and then meeting your friends and meeting your family. So what that tells you is, in that journey, each touch point could have built on the next, or there was a series of touch points that encouraged trust. So it's the same thing in our marketing. We need to think about certainly that first interaction or that last interaction. If you're already a big name, though, chances are people have already had impressions. And so everything subsequent to that, you just need to think about, what are those maybe, you know, three interactions that happen most, or four interactions? And do they relate to one another, or do they build on one another? And once you can do that and look at your marketing, you'll think of a little bit more of a return on engagement as opposed to just a flatline return on investment. Because with digital marketing specifically, we know that if you spend $500, chances are you're not going to make $500. That's not the goal. The goal is, now I can tell you who saw it. I can tell you how long they saw it. I can tell you if it's the right demographic based on the avatars you've selected. I can tell you what they did after that. And that's what we're trying to go to. And as we start to break down ROI into more of an ROE framework, people suddenly go, you know what? I don't know who's seeing my print ad. I don't know who's seeing this. And I go, great, put a landing page in it. Direct them to your Google My Business, put an offer up, there's all kinds of things that you can do to make it work. It just requires a little bit of a reframe. But that dating story, really, I felt, and that came, you know, purely because I was speaking to a group of people that had only ever done, to be fair, like print and mailer, right? They'd only done coupons. And so I was trying to explain to them that even though guaranteed it was getting delivered to those different homes, they didn't know if people were actually seeing it or if it went right into the trash. And I think that all of this can work really well together. We just have to determine what those touch points are for marketing.
You're right, Kristen. That is the best analogy I've heard in marketing in about 2 years, I think. So, you know what I really like about that, Marissa, is I've been so disappointed with so many people still kind of on this customer journey mindset where you do one thing, then you do another thing, then you do another thing. And what I love about what you're talking about is all of those things aren't just individual notes in like in music. They all build on each other, and you know, the momentum changes and the pace changes and all of that sort of thing. It isn't just A, B, C, D, E, and then we're sold. So kudos on that analogy. Love it.
Yeah. And I think that the most under-leveraged thing is recognizing that people are just making unscripted decisions. I made a very specific unscripted decision last night, right? We went to the grocery store and bought a bunch of food and then said, you know, no one felt like cooking. So we ended up ordering out and we kind of did this Russian roulette where we just pointed to something on an app, right? So that type of unscripted decision where I had no intent to order in, I had no intent, I had every intent to go cook. We have to remember, people don't, again, like what you're saying, they don't necessarily follow a specific journey. They might disrupt that journey. And their phone is going to allow them to disrupt their journey. So by the time we had put away groceries, we had already ordered, you know, Thai food. And that wasn't on our radar. And so if we can look at those things as like, those aren't one-off things. We do that all the time. I can't tell you how many times in the past 6 months I've gone to, you know, a store for essential items and walked out with a comforter, right? Like that was not on my radar. And I think a lot of
I think that's relate. Target's marketing plan, isn't it? Right? Like.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going for toilet paper and some Lysol wipes, and I wake up with a comforter and some type of, you know, home gym equipment. But that be that as it may, that actually works for us because those unscripted moments, there's not necessarily a brand loyalty play, right? People are willing to try new things, right? People are willing to experience and do different things even within a brand that's longstanding as well. Those unscripted decisions, biggest opportunity in those moments.
Excellent. And we'll be back in just a moment with some final questions. Kristen, if you have anything more to throw in or throw at Marissa today, and then Marissa, we're going to get some contact information of where people can learn more about what you're doing these days. But just a quick note, if anyone hasn't signed up yet for the IFA's Marketing Operations Development Virtual Conference, please do so now. Go to franchise.org/events. You can sign up for yourself, your entire team, just the marketing portion or just the operations portion, or what we recommend, get your whole team involved and everybody join together and spend 4 days together growing your business as a franchisor and as a brand. So please sign up right now at franchise.org/events. Kristen, thanks so much for being here. Did you have any final comments or questions for Marissa?
I do. You're such a wealth of knowledge. I can't help but to continue to ask questions. What's the one thing you got your eye on right now, Marissa? What should we be paying attention to? That one thing in digital or marketing that you're like, oop, this could be big.
The question that I get asked most and the one that I'm most fascinated with, quite frankly, is TikTok, because I'm watching so many brands kind of blow it. So, you know, this with the, if we look at millennial Gen Z, it started with Gen Z and now millennials, right? And I'm an elder millennial, right? I'm the last year of what's considered to be a millennial. It is so incredible from an engagement perspective that so many brands are looking at, and they're not leveraging a lot of this stuff. If you've got an employee or someone that's going viral and it's, you know, they're doing a silly dance or they're not doing anything disruptive, lean into that because you're getting 1, 2, 3 million plus engagements on this content and copy I have yet to see any brand jump in there and be like, mention TikTok to get X, right? If you've got millions of people consuming this stuff, there is something to be said about exploring a new platform. I myself am on the platform and my daughter has really taught it to me. And what I'm seeing is the people that are getting in there and embracing that, you can generate so much business and so much loyalty, and you can really, it's a great opportunity to not take yourself too seriously. And you can, I mean, a lot of the times there's not employees on there complaining. They're just telling you, hey, did you know you could order this and this? Or did you know that you can ask for this? And that's what's really interesting is people seem to not be leaning into it because they don't understand it. But algorithmically, anything that keeps people on platform for 90 minutes at a time is really worth exploring right now. Well, it's, you know, pennies on the dollar to look at.
Excellent. Great advice. And Marissa, before we go, if our listeners would like to learn a little bit more about your work, where can we send them?
Oh, sure. So you can go to meetmarissa.com, and it's actually Marissa spelled M-A-R-E-S-A. So that's meetmarissa.com. And you can learn about me and the work that I do there. Amazing.
And now it's time for the Health and Safety Spotlight, brought to you by Northeast Color. Every week, we're looking at and sharing stories of franchise brands making a difference in health and safety. This week, we're spotlighting Seniors Helping Seniors. They're continuing to provide safety and reassurance to the senior community amid the COVID-19 pandemic, most recently by introducing the Telecare service offering. The Telecare services will allow seniors to be cared for and monitored by their families, friends, and caregivers through a personal yet non-contact approach. Namrata Yokum-Jan, Executive Vice President of Senior Helping Seniors, said, "Not only will Telecare help with prospecting and introducing new clients to our services, but it can enrich the lives of current clients during the pandemic and beyond. Our mission is to connect seniors and help them build personal connections as they live more remote lives, and we're proud to introduce this offering to our system." If you have stories about how your franchise system is keeping everyone healthy and safe, let me know. We'll share them here thanks to our friends at Northeast Color. Northeast Color is offering franchise systems help with social distancing floor decals, signs and window decals, suspended partitions for the front desk or workout stations, parking lot signage, and hand sanitizer pedestals with signage, all fully branded and customized for your franchisees. Learn more now at northeastcolor.com. And thanks for listening to Social Geek Radio. We're here to help you get yourself ready for the comeback of a lifetime. Copyright 2020 Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.